Matthew chapter number 14, verse number 28 and 29. We know this story. This is when Jesus was, actually walking on the water. He had spent some time praying. The disciples had gotten in a boat to go to the other side of the lake. And then he comes out to them on the water, walking on the water. And they were afraid. They thought it was a ghost. And he said, "No, be of good cheer. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, verse number 28, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And you know the story about him sinking, Jesus catching him and everything. But I want to emphasize just simply this statement here whenever he said, "If it's thou, bid me come." And he said, "Come." Jesus invited him. Let's put it this way. Jesus invited him out into a faith project. Oh, and I've been there many, many times where the Lord said, "Come" in something. And whenever he's saying, "Come," he's saying, "Get out into the supernatural. Get out into something else I have for you. Get out into a supply that you haven't tapped into yet." And he's inviting me out into an area of blessing, an area of doing more for me than he has been doing by inviting me out into a faith project. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, welcoming faith projects, not, you know, resisting them, not, you know, kind of be reluctant or dragging our feet or kind of sitting back and observing everybody else while they go into it. But we sit back to see if it's really going to happen, it's really going to work, whether or not, whether God's going to come through. How many of you know we as a congregation are called to be united in what God's putting in the heart of leadership to take us into, because God has something more for us, but we are to be united in faith. We're to be all in, both feet. Amen. I mean, we tear up the reluctance and throw it away. We are in this in one accord and no one dragging our feet. Amen. Oh, I'm going to go ahead and preach this morning. Peter saw Jesus out in something that he wanted to get into. And he said, "If it's you," because he's still wondering, "Is that a ghost? What is that? If that's you, you bid me come." And Jesus said, "Come," which was basically him being invited out into something he had not been into before. How many of you know God has something for you as a congregation that you've not been into yet, but it's out there. It's ready for us to walk into and this congregation to walk into. It's out there waiting for us to lay hold of it. Hallelujah. And so he was asking, Peter was asking if it was, let's put it this way, if he could step out. In other words, this, are you in this, Lord? If you're in this, I want this. How many of you know it's important that we don't just set arbitrary goals in our mind and decide we're going to believe God and we're going to go out into something? We're to ask if the Lord's in it first. In the 8th chapter, you can go over to Luke's gospel if you brought your Bible this morning. The 8th chapter. In the 22nd verse, the Bible said, "It came to pass on a certain day that he was in a ship with his disciples," that he went into a ship with his disciples, "and he said unto them, let us go over again to the other side of the lake, and they launched forth." Notice they didn't just launch forth, they waited for direction. When direction came, they launched forth. We're to be people of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Whenever we decide to just launch into something because it's what our plan is to do it, we could get that, we might not get that, but it could be a distraction from something that really we are to be using our faith for something else, but it's being gobbled up by us just launching into something without hearing from heaven. How many of you know it's important that I like to say it this way. The Bible says, lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us and let us run with patience. There's some things we need to lay aside. And to be honest with you, I like to say it this way. Travel light in faith so that our faith is ready for what really God has in mind for us. not use up our faith for every little thing that we'd want. I mean, how many of you know I'm not saying we shouldn't have things that we want, but I'm simply saying put first things first. And whenever we use our faith for whatever God is saying do, then He'll add all these things to us. But just trying to put me out of our mind deciding what we're going to believe God for, we could get it, we might not get it, but whenever we have gotten direction from the Lord, that's whenever we're supposed to be launching forth. We're going to go in with both feet. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Faith comes by hearing. Things are going to work out whenever we've been led by the Spirit, we've heard from the Spirit. We know we have the written word of God, but yet right on these other, you know, these specifics, how do you know what God's saying to launch out into? Well, it takes a prayer life. It takes, and when it comes to a congregation, it's going to be the Lord leading the congregation as a through leadership, through the pastors. Amen. And so he was asking if he could step out into a faith endeavor, and really it's only possible to be doing something by faith because you've heard from God. Amen. So don't just launch out into any old thing that comes to your mind. And I'm not saying that. What I'm saying about is the pastors are being led by the Spirit to do some things concerning the next building. You understand? And so with that, because God will lead corporate congregations through leadership. The Bible talks about it in Psalm 77, verse 19 and 20. I won't go there right now, but it says he led Israel by Moses and Aaron into, you know, coming out of Egypt, up to the edge of the Red Sea, the manna and all that. He led them into all that through leadership. We don't have to get the mind of God for this church. We just hear what God's saying to the pastors. And listen, whenever they say, they stand up and say, and listen, they've got a track record. They're not just fly by night, just saying things, just, you know, that really weren't God and that haven't proven out. They're being led and they've got a track record that they're listening to the Holy Ghost, and you can have confidence in them. And whenever they stand up and say, the Lord has spoken to us, then it's our job as a congregation to all jump in on that. Can you say amen? And so once they have heard from God, it's our job to launch forth, like this said, Luke 8:22, launch forth to take the steps that the leadership is saying for us to take. Hallelujah. And so whenever they have asked the Lord, what is your plan? They have found out for sure what his plan was, and then they've spent time praying and seeking God, and now they're just simply passing it on to you as a congregation and saying, this is what the Lord is saying. In other words, that's what they're doing is they're saying, God's saying, put your faith on this. Yes. I mean, there might be 100 other things you could put your faith on, but he's saying, here's the specific direction. Put your faith on this. I've learned that the reason he says put your faith on this, number one, is his plan. But number two, there's something he's been working on the backside of that area that whenever we're led of the Spirit and in a corporate way through leadership led of the Spirit, then what he's leading us into a supply that has been there all along. Amen? My wife and I, we went to Cedar Rapids to pastor in 2002. And we instantly, the first thing we knew we needed to do was get another building because we were cramming them in. It was about half this size. And we were cramming 185 people in there. And we had one men's bathroom and one ladies' bathroom. And after service started, for 15 minutes, there's especially the ladies' line, people are still in the back waiting to get in the ladies' restroom. Well, it was obvious. We need another building. So we started believing God, and God showed us where it was, and it wasn't what we had in mind. Anybody ever heard of that before? I saw it and rejected it, and my wife called and said, I found a building. I said, where is it? Maybe we can go look at it. And she described it, and I said, that's the one I'm driving away from right now. I don't want that building, you know. Anyway, it's a long story, longer than I have time to get into. But anyway, we finally heard from God and knew it was right, so we moved in there, and we started remodeling it. And we had the cash to remodel everything, and we got down to the end, and we didn't have the money for the carpet. It needed about, I don't remember how many square feet, but about $16,000 worth of carpet. And we had already torn up the old carpet, and it was glued down. And so we were trying to get the glue off, but they gave us occupancy. We didn't have the carpet, for the new carpet, so it's sticky. And we always said, if you come to Spirit of Faith Family Church, you're going to stick. That's what we said. And so, but we would be walking. It was like, you know. And so we were believing God for carpet, like tomorrow we'd like to put carpet in. And but we were just, I told the congregation that we need about $16,000 to put the new carpet in, and we're all believing God. After about 2 weeks of that or something like that, a lady, after one of the services, we were dismissed for a Sunday morning service, and I was in the back fellowship, and I was just talking to some people, and a young lady, I think she was about 21 or 22 years old, walked up to me and said, so you're believing God for carpet. Now, this is, by the way, I'll back up. This is a visitor. She'd only come a couple of weeks. I think maybe 3 weeks since she had been there. At our church, you visit three times. Now you're one of us. You know what I'm talking about? But anyway, she said, how much do you need for the carpet? And I said, about $16,000. She just got her checkbook out and wrote a check for $16,000. I mean, you know, you're thinking maybe somebody older would have that kind of money or something. 21 years old, 22 years old, and she just cut a check like it was no big deal. Said, praise God, thank you. We agreed with her and so forth. Well, what I didn't know was, that was over in the 2003. That was about 4 years after, 4 or 5 years after, we had ministered at a church south of our church 4 or 5 years before in another town, that and while we were ministering there, she reminded me of this. She said, do you remember whenever you were there, you had a word of knowledge about a mother, and you actually ministered to us, a mother and a daughter who had some funds that were being withheld from them, some sort of settlement, some sort of payment or something. I said, oh, yeah, I do remember that. She says, my mother and I. You were ministering to my mother and me. I was younger, you know, in that 15 years old age group and so forth. People changed a lot. I didn't recognize her. And so, and she said, you ministered us and said, by the Spirit, you said that there was money due to us. She said, you didn't know us from Adam. You said there was money due to us, some sort of settlement that was due to you that's being withheld, and you just bound that and commanded the money to come, and you prophesied to us that it was all going to come in. I said, I remember that. And she said, well, it all came in. And she wrote the check. She had hundreds of thousands in the bank, and $16,000 was nothing for her. I thought, God was working on that. I needed carpet. I needed carpet in 2003, and he was already working on it. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And I've learned if I'm being led in a particular direction, God's already been working on the backside. He's already been working on the backside. And that's why he's leading your pastors the way he's leading. There's a supply. There'll be divine connections. There'll be people. There'll be funding. There'll be help and builders and people and everything you need, but being led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, so that's what Jesus is calling. You know, he's out there on the water, and he said to Peter, come. And Peter, all he wanted to know was, are you in this?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you in this? Because whenever you decide, whenever he's saying, once I settle that you're in this, I'm going to do this.
Yeah, right.
I'm in. So he's launching forth, so to speak. Amen?
Yeah.
Someone asked Brother Hagin one time, they said, what's the key to your success? And he said, well, really, two things. He said, number one, of course, build on the Word. But he said, second of all, he said, I don't do anything unless the Lord is in it. He always quoted that verse, Psalm 127:1, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. The Bible says, John the Baptist said about Jesus, a man can take nothing unto himself unless it's given to him from heaven, John 3:27. If something is not given from heaven, you can't take it from heaven. But the other side of that is, if it is given, you're going to have to take it.
Yeah.
It won't fall on you automatically like ripe cherries off a tree. You're going to have to use your faith.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And so there are, you might say, when God speaks to you about something and further blessings, further, you know, in this case, another building for you as a congregation and so forth, really, faith comes by hearing, and what he's doing really is opening a door of opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's saying, I have something for you. I want to do more for you, And so do this. What he's doing is he's opening a door of opportunity to get our faith in action so that our faith begins to lay hold of it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so God will offer you things for the taking. And that's what he's doing as a congregation for you. He's offering you something for the taking. You ever read in the Old Testament, the Bible said over and over again, Deuteronomy, it talks about it. Deuteronomy 2:24 is one verse. He said, I've given you the land, go in and possess it. It's not enough. The giving of it does not equal the enjoyment of it. It takes faith. It takes possessing by faith. All right. Hebrews chapter number 10. Go over to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hallelujah. We read there where Jesus invited Peter to launch out into the something he was not in before. And Hebrews chapter number 10 tells us some information that is going to be necessary here. Hebrews 10, we'll start in verse number 38. Read verse 38 and 39. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him.
Amen.
You know why that doesn't please the Lord? Because he delights in blessing us.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
He's got things in mind for us. He wants to do. How many of you know God will do you better than you'll do yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let me re-say that again. This side got it over here. Maybe. Should I preach on this side or should I preach on this side? Okay, all right. God will do you better than you will do yourself. That's why without faith it's impossible to please him, because he loves doing people good. He loves doing people good. So he said, verse 38 again, he said, the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not, this is a good confession, we are not of them who draw back. That's not our nature. That's not our spiritual DNA. We are not of them that draw back unto perdition, that means destruction, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. What does it mean? So we're talking about welcoming faith projects. This verse said, don't draw back. Don't shrink back from faith projects. You know what I mean? Don't withdraw from faith. Don't shun taking on faith projects or assignments. Amen. This really, when he says draw back, it implies reluctance. It implies hesitancy. It implies reservation. It implies not jumping in with both feet. You know what I'm talking about. So when the pastor speaks to a congregation about what God's saying, really, God's inviting a congregation out into something they've not had before.
Amen.
Amen. It's not okay for us if God says, this is what is yours as a congregation, take it. It's not okay for us to say, well, you know, that's such a high standard. We'll just settle for this, this lower standard. You know what I mean by that? Now, why would anybody want to draw back from a faith project whenever it brings such blessings into our lives? Because it's uncomfortable on the flesh. And we like to be comfortable.
Yeah.
Well, let me rephrase that. Our flesh likes to be comfortable.
That's right.
Your spirit loves to charge in faith.
Yeah.
It's your nature.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Your flesh, not so much. the any part of your mind that's unrenewed, it's uncomfortable on the unrenewed mind. Because you're going to step out into things that don't look possible. You don't know where the money's coming from. It's going to be uncomfortable. There's going to be bombarding thoughts, telling you, harassing thoughts, trying to get you to get over into the mental and into unbelief, like, well, we can't, saying we can't and thinking we can't. And so the flesh doesn't like that. The unrenewed part of the mind doesn't like that. And reason people are continually unwilling to enter into faith projects is sometimes because they just live empty.
Oh, come on.
The reason when the pastor says we're going to believe God for something, they groan inside. Now, they wouldn't do it outside. Pastor Debbie would deal with you. But inside, come on now. Inside they go, oh, my. Yeah, yeah. The reason they do that all the time is they're empty. I said they're not keeping themselves continually filled. They're not building up their spirit on the word. They're living with a weak spirit. You know what I'm talking about. I've been there. I've been there. So you're not talking down to anybody else. But we've got to stay strong and sufficiently strong spiritually and fed spiritually where we can keep pace with our leadership.
Amen.
Somebody said one time that the maybe it was Pastor Debbie. I hear things sometimes, and I'd give her credit if she did, if I knew for sure she said it. I just don't remember. Was it you that said the pastor is the kicker, and then we all engage in like a football game?
Yeah, no.
It wasn't you. Yeah. You know what a football game is? I'm talking about like the Super Bowl kind of football, not the soccer kind.
Right.
The kicker kicks. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And then the rest of the team engages. Yes. The pastor is the kicker.
Yes.
He puts the ball in play, and we all go, okay, here we go.
Yes.
Amen. But not if we're weak spiritually. We'll kind of just kind of wish nobody had suggested we launch out into a faith project if we're weak spiritually. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I don't want to be a drag on my pastor. Amen. Always dragging when the church is endeavoring to reach and progress in faith, and I'm not up there in the front pulling the wagon. I'm on the back putting weight on the wagon. You know what I mean? I don't want to be that to my pastor or my church. Amen. Amen. Am I still all right? What's the opposite of drawing back? You know, he said here, we're not of them that draw back. What's the opposite of drawing back? It's charging in. Launching forward. Amen. And that's a spirit of faith. David had a spirit of faith, and Goliath started, now maybe this will date me. I don't know if you still use the word lippy. Anybody know what lippy is? That just means mouthing off. Lippy, yeah. David and Goliath is out there getting lippy with David. You know what I mean by lippy?
Yeah.
I'm going to feed you to the birds. And I mean, he's mouthing off. He's an uncircumcised Philistine. And David declared the word to him. And he didn't just stand at a distance and do it. He ran towards Goliath. He charged. Huh? That's the spirit of faith. I said, that's the spirit of faith. But see, we started out with making sure we're hearing from God, right? Once we've heard from God and we know the timing and how, it's time to charge. Hallelujah. But you won't do that if you're weak spiritually. I mean, the congregation might, but we're back there going, oh, not another faith project. Really, the spirit of faith welcomes faith projects. The spirit of faith loves faith projects. It likes to stay on the edge. Amen. And so you could say faith projects are presented to us in our lives by sometimes by the devil, sometimes by circumstances. I mean, he'll throw things at us, an attack against our body or something, and he'll throw it at us. He's trying to destroy us. His goal is not to develop us in faith. He's trying to destroy us. But you can turn it on him and use it to develop in faith. God didn't bring it, you know, in order for you to grow in faith. But you can make it work for you. The Bible said so. You know, make these things work for us. They work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. But faith projects can be presented by the enemy attacking, and we shouldn't groan in those times. We should just say, Father, thank you for another opportunity to believe your word.
Amen.
Amen. Make the devil eat it.
Amen.
Make him cry like a victim.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I mean, make him wish he had never done it. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, make him wish. How many of you know he, for a long time, wished he never attacked Brother Hagin with sickness and disease? Because Brother Hagin got a hold of the truth, and it wasn't enough for him to get a hold of it. He had to tell the whole world.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Brother Hagin made him eat it.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
You know what I mean by make him eat it?
Yeah.
And so faith projects are presented to us by the devil, by circumstances, and he's not trying to bless us or develop our faith. He's trying to destroy us. But yet, right on the other hand, faith projects can also be presented by God. And I don't mean sickness or disease or lack or something like that. I mean an invitation to come out into something we're not in, we haven't been in before. Does that make sense? I don't want to confuse you, because God doesn't bring bad things to try our faith. But I'm simply saying He will invite you, like he did to Peter here. Walk, come out on the water. Walk. He'll invite you out into things that's going to require faith. Amen? Am I making any sense? And so Satan will throw things at you, and you'll just have to believe God or else die in some cases. You know, he's not trying to bless you. He's trying to take you out. Satan, I'm talking about, trying to take you out. And so, but God will invite you into things because He has more for you. It's not a faith project presented because, you know, of sickness or disease. God's not in those things. But He will invite you out into more.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, so it's important that we take Him up on those things. Now, I don't want to say any of the things God invites us into are optional, because nothing our Lord asks us to do should be optional. But that being said, when He invites us into a faith project, it's not thrust upon us like you have to do this. You understand? It is given to us as an opportunity. It's presented to us as an opportunity, like you're in with the next part of the next phase of your building and so forth. It's not thrust upon you like you have to do it, but it's an opportunity because He wants to get you into more. It's going to require faith to get into that. And but listen, we got faith. You as a congregation have faith. Amen. And so it's an invitation to come into more. Now, to not take God up on these things, which you are, I'm not saying you're not, but I'm saying if we choose to not take God up on faith projects and moving out into something He's invited us to come into, we will do without. But because He had more for us. Because it's not thrust on us against our will. You understand? We have to choose. We have to, it's our responsibility to not just sit there and say, well, I can receive that or not, and treat it like an option. I've gotten to the place when God invites me into something, I do not see it as an option. I see it as my commander-in-chief charging me and leading me to do something. It's not an option to me, it's a command. Now, because, I'll tell you why, because there's several reasons He's inviting me out into more. Number one, it could be to develop my faith. Use my faith on something to develop it, because if I don't use it on that thing right now He's leading me into, it won't be ready for something that's really important. Something that even beyond where I'm at now He has in mind, but I'll never know it if I don't use my faith right now. And I don't want to get to heaven and find out there was something He had in mind for me, but because I didn't use my faith back here, I never knew out here was coming. I don't want to get to heaven and find that out. Amen.
Amen.
I do not want to get to heaven. I want everything God has for me. And besides, what... God's plan for this congregation, for the next building, what lives does He have in mind reaching because you didn't draw back and say, we can't? It's worth one life. But I believe He has many more lives, more than one. Amen? I want to get to heaven and find out people are lining up to say, thank you for obeying God and receiving what God had for you so that you could get the message to me.
Amen.
Amen. It's not just all about us, is it? I said it's not just all about us. So we don't want to treat these things as optional. Amen. So to draw back from faith projects presented by the pastor because they're being led by the Holy Ghost, is to, as a congregation, get out of unity with leadership. That God has joined you to, by the way.
Yes.
Amen? I don't want to, because there's great anointing and power in unity. And unity is not just saying the same thing, although that's very important, but it's also you're in agreement in your heart. You can mouth the right words and not be in agreement in your heart. We used to help in Kenneth Hagin Ministries Healing School all those years ago, and sometimes people would make all the right confessions in front of us, but they would go home and make funeral plans.
That's right. That's right.
And they would die, and we're like, what happened?
Yeah.
And then their spouse would come, and they would say, well, you know, what you didn't know is they'd go home and make their funeral. I want this song sung. I want this. Yeah. These to be my pallbearers.
Yeah.
Well, see, they're just mouthing the words.
Yeah.
They're just parroting the word.
Yeah.
Listen, just because a parrot can say the word doesn't make it a faith parrot.
Right.
Huh? How many of you know a tape player or a CD player or something like that can say the word? That doesn't mean it's believing in its heart. There's got to be agreement on the inside. I don't know who I'm talking to. But you got to jump in with both feet on the inside. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then also, God has things in the city that he wants done, but he's got to have somebody respond to him in faith. I believe H2O is a, how would I say it, you know, a special forces kind of a church. He's going to call on you to do things that other people aren't interested in because you know how to operate in faith. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You can do some things others will not do because they don't want the opposition of the enemy. Because by doors, remember the Bible talks about, Paul said there's a great door, effectual door open to me, and there's many adversaries. By doors into more, there's adversaries. Some people don't want to deal with that. But H2O knows how to deal with that. See, he'll give you assignments to do some things that he won't even talk to some other congregations about.
Yeah, come on. Amen.
Because he's calling you crack troops, special forces. You know, like the SEALs, the Navy SEALs, you know what I'm talking about, the Army Rangers. How many of you know? They get assignments nobody else gets.
Amen.
They get specialty assignments.
Yeah, come on.
That's your congregation.
Amen.
I thought you'd shout a little bit more about that. They also have special funding. Those groups, the Navy SEALs and the Rangers, they've got funding that goes way beyond the Army, the Navy. They've got funding beyond what normal troops get because they are specialty troops. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All God is looking for is a congregation that'll say yes. He is not looking for a congregation that has the money. He's looking for a congregation who will say yes. They might not have the money, but they have the faith. The money's not a problem for God. He just needs people to say yes to the project and say, I'm going to believe God for that.
Yes.
Somebody said, but we can't. Exactly.
Yeah.
Welcome to walking by faith.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I want you to go to Joshua chapter number 5. Joshua chapter number 5. I keep looking back at that clock and it don't have hands on it. I think you. I like the way you all think. I keep thinking, is it too dark for? Are the hands so dark I can't see it? That's right. Joshua chapter 5, this is the story when Joshua is about to go in to take Jericho. They have just crossed the Jordan River. They're getting ready to attack Jericho. Remember, God told them how to do it. But before they got there, Joshua is out, I guess he's praying one day or something here. And look at verse number 13. Came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua, this is actually an angel. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Because he's getting ready to go and take Jericho. And he's asking this angel, are you on our side or on their side? Look at verse number 14. And he said, nay, we would say no. Well, what kind of answer is that? Are you for us? No. Are you for them? No. What's going on here? No, he said, verse number 14, as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what says my Lord unto his servant? Now, I want you to see this. This angel shows up before they go in. How many of you know angels were involved in this battle? Remember this? Remember the walls went straight down into the ground? That no doubt is angels pushing those. That's supernatural. Pushing those walls down the ground. So these angels were there to help them take that city. But when he asked the angel, which side are you on? He said, no. That's a strange answer. You'd think he'd be on their side. Notice what he said. What, you know, no, I'm just here as captain of the Lord's host. In other words, I'm on God's side. The question is, which side are you on? He's basically saying, listen, he's basically saying that he is sent to carry out the plan of God. He's not sent to be on one side or another. We choose which side we're on. He's going to be on God's side. Whoever sides with God gets their ministry. Did you get that? When you and I say yes to faith projects because God asks us to do something, we're the ones that get the angelic help. You understand what I'm talking about? Angels and all the supply of heaven, beyond angels, really, are assigned to the plan. They're not assigned to a man. They're assigned to the plan. Any man that says yes to the plan gets the ministry of the angels. Huh? Am I making any sense?
Yes.
I want the help of the angels, and so I just do what God asks me to do, and if it requires faith, because whenever I say yes, I get the help of heaven. I get the help of the angels. That all kicks in for a man who says yes. But when we back out and say we can't, well, then we can't.
Yeah.
Do you know the man who says he can and the man who says he can't, that he's both right? Both of them are right? When we say yes to the plan of God and we say we can do all things through him who anoints us and the greater one in us, all of a sudden all the resources of heaven go into action in order to help us carry out that plan.
Hallelujah.
Even though we in the flesh couldn't, yet the help of heaven kicks in. That's why it's important that we say yes to faith projects. Can you see that? I don't want to sit in my, I'm talking about myself, I'm not talking about you, because there's some things in our lives right now, that some similar things. I don't want to sit in my little building, look out my window at the big building I should have had and could have had, and it's to sit there and mock me and mock my lack of faith. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So when we say yes, we're saying yes to some challenges. You understand? And there's adversaries by these doors, but, you know, if we're going to gripe and complain, does anybody know what gripe means? Is that just farm boy English back from where I grew up? If we're going to gripe and complain and worry and be afraid and talk negative and all that, we got no business saying yes. Let's just say yes and even say the challenges are there, but we're going to rejoice anyway.
Yeah.
It's impossible in the natural, but we're going to just rejoice our way right through it anyway.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Learn to transfer the pressure over onto the Word.
Yeah.
Rather than take it all into us and be pressured. And, you know, they say pastors that go into building programs, there's statistics they read about. So many of them have all these problems physically and all this stuff. Well, that's because they took all the burden of it on the inside.
Yeah.
We're going to learn to take this faith project as a congregation without the burden of it.
That's right. Amen.
We take the responsibility of faith, but not the burden.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
And so we accept the invitations. Amen. And we do it joyfully. I said we do it joyfully. How many of you know if we're doing it complaining and grumpy, it's like your child, you ask them to take out the trash or something like that, and they got an attitude about it? How many of you call them back and say, hey, back here. You're going to start over right back here, and you're going to do this joyfully.
That's right.
Just something goes all over you as a mom and a dad, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's the same way God is. He doesn't like complaining and grumbling. When we say yes, he wants us to just rejoice and not take all the heavy burdens of it. That's God's job. Hallelujah. Praise God. I mean, this is an exciting time for you as a congregation. You're going to see miracles you've never seen before. You're going to enjoy views, and you're going to get to know God in ways you've never known him before. Get to know him in the area of supply and the leading of the Spirit and supernatural leadings into supply and things. And coming out the other side, the thing about faith, walking by faith, is I always get to know God better every time I say yes. I do. I know him better every single time. He reveals sides to me and shows things to me I never saw in him. Hallelujah. But if I'd have sat back in my comfortable, life and said, God, just, why don't you just leave well enough alone? I'm fine, If I'd have sat back and just where the flesh is comfortable, there'd be areas of God I never got to know. I want to know him. Don't you want to know him?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And so stay in faith and transfer the pressure over to the Word. And don't long to go back to where you were. Go to Hebrews 11:15. This is a faith chapter, isn't it? Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews 11:15. Truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Listen to the Amplified. If they had been, this is talking about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt and getting over into the promised land. Amplified says, if they had been thinking with homesick remembrance of the country from which they were immigrants, they would have found constant opportunity to return to it. What is that saying? Whenever we're longing to go back to where we didn't have to press in faith, we were back there and we didn't have to use our faith. And we were all comfortable. Our flesh was comfortable. We didn't have to believe God just to keep the devil off our heads. Oh, we could just go back there. He said, if you and I live that way with that homesick longing for back where we were, we're going to find opportunity every day to go back. And listen, you're opening the door to the devil to tempt you. The devil will take advantage of that kind of mindset. Yeah, somebody say amen.
Amen.
We all know what we're talking about. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, we can't look back to the good old days. The good old days, whenever we were in a building, we were able to make the payment every month. We knew, well, let's say it this way. You'll be able to make the payment in the next one too. But I mean, we knew ahead of time where the money was coming from to pay the payment. Amen. We don't want to long back for that. We want to reach forward for what God has for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. It says in Numbers 14:24 that Caleb had a different spirit with him than all those other spies. He had a spirit of faith. Remember that? And because of that, God said to Caleb, I'm going to take you into some things these other people aren't going to get into. I want to be a Caleb, don't you? He didn't draw back at invitations that God gave him to go into something. It looked impossible. There were giants, walled cities, iron chariots. He saw the same thing all the other spies saw, but he had a good report. And he wasn't drawn back. He remembers back in Egypt being whipped by Egyptians. Amen. He had another spirit with him. So do you know that the flesh, your flesh, not just mine, our flesh, very seldom welcomes God's invitations to come out into more in faith. Amen. Because the flesh likes to be comfortable. It likes to be able to say, well, I've got the money in my hand, you know, a whole month ahead of time for this or that. Come on. Oh, praise the Lord. So I'm getting some glares, Pastor Debbie. What does that mean? That mean they love me? That's what that means, right? Okay. All right. Pastor Nancy ministered to me at the Holy Ghost meetings back just, 3 weeks ago or whatever. She ministered to me about a faith project we're in right now. I mean, it is a joy. It is a joy. We're getting to see miracles every day because we need it every day. We just had one. My wife called me the other day. I'm like, praise the Lord, we needed that one today, you know. And so we're in one of those places. And Pastor Nancy ministered to me at the Holy Ghost meetings about it. And I don't know how many of you were there, even knew what was, you know, she was ministering to us about. But she said, she ministered to me and said, don't see that faith project as an intrusion. When she said that, I went, ouch. I got convicted because I knew the Holy Ghost had just nailed me. And boy, it hurts so good. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. Anybody ever gotten convicted? I know when Pastor Debbie's preaching, you get convicted. But doesn't it hurt so good? I mean, it's just good to know God loves you enough to deal with you in an area. And whenever she ministered that to me, Pastor Nancy ministered about, don't see this as an intrusion, I went back to my room and I started thinking about that and I thought, you know what? I have had to deal with that constantly because it seemed like such a natural thing. It's a building of a new home is what it is. It seemed like such a natural thing and it's like, I just want to get past this. It kind of somehow got its way into my life and took up all my attention for the last 6 months. You know what I'm talking about? I'm like, not all my attention, but you know what I'm talking about. And so, and I was like, let's get this done. And I was treating it like God had invaded my life against my will and, was forcing himself. He didn't force me to do anything. But he invited us out into it. He had something for us. And I got real convicted, and I said, Lord, forgive me. And if we're not careful, because what Pastor Nancy ministered to me, she said, really what you're learning in this is preparing you for what's ahead. By using your faith on this thing right now, it seems so natural. It seems almost like a distraction. Although I'm not saying it is because God led us into it. But I'm dealing with those thoughts. And I just want to get past this. I got things to do for God. You know. Well, yeah, right now you're developing in faith, so you have the faith to do those things for God. And rather than see it as an intrusion, I'm to welcome it and say, thank you, Father, for giving me an opportunity to learn how to cast my care over on the Lord on this new level. Learn how to cast down imaginations on this new level. Amen. Learn how to not worry, not wake up in the middle of the night in hot sweats on this new level. When there's extra zeros on the end of the need. You know what I'm talking about? No, this is not an intrusion. This is God developing me, giving me something to practice on because I'm going to need it on this new level to do some things He has for us in the ministry. Hallelujah. But if we're not careful, we can see things that God leads us into as an intrusion. Anybody else getting convicted like me? Intrusion into what? Into my comfortable life. Where I've known where all the money's coming from, and I've known I've got it there ahead of time. And now, day by day, I need a miracle. God, I didn't ask for this. But he invited us into it, and we said yes. But we said yes to some challenges. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. You know, he wants to do more for us than we even want to do for ourselves, and he's got to get us into the place where we're there in faith so that he can do more for us. And so it requires stretching, and stretching isn't fun sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the flesh. Your spirit man loves it.
Yes.
My spirit man loves it. I'm in better fellowship today than... I'm in better fellowship with God right now than I was 6 months ago. I'm telling you what. Woo! I think I might have gotten close to a humdinger right now, you know. Thank you, Father, when you don't see the money. I mean, you're just practicing. You're practicing. Practicing your faith. You hear the story about the man that got up. There was a man in the church that was real proud in a church. I think this actually happened, actually, years ago down south. He got up. This man, the young man in the church, he thought he knew everything. He's all smart, smarter than everybody else. And an older lady, a country lady, got up and prophesied to him, "Thus saith the Lord, you think you are a humdinger." And she went on, she said, "Thou art not a humdinger, thou art only a dinger." How many of you know that's country for cutting your legs out from under, you know? Hallelujah. What is it in your life right now that God's inviting you out into that you're trying to push it aside like that's an intrusion? Maybe as a congregation, maybe you haven't been in unity with the leadership here. Maybe it's something in your own life. Let's get rid of that attitude today. Amen? Hallelujah. Spirit of God said to me regarding that our church has some land right now. We bought some land, paid it off. And the Lord said to me whenever he showed it to us, he said, because I asked him, are you saying, because the way he started showing it to me, I wasn't sure if he was telling us to buy it. I said, "Are you saying that you want us to buy this land?" And he said to me, "It's yours for the taking." He said, "A church will be built there. It's yours for the taking." He offered it. It wasn't something we had to do, but he offered it. If God offers me something, I'm going to lay hold of it.
Yes.
And we did. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But I can't see it as an intrusion. I have to see it as something that God is offering that he wants me to take hold of. To intrude, if you look it up, it means to like thrust oneself into something without welcome, permission, or invitation. There's times whenever God starts leading you, it's like, "I didn't ask you. I didn't invite you to lead me into this."
Amen.
Right now, we're traveling more overseas with Pastor Nancy. And I don't know if you've ever taken business class tickets, bought business class tickets to other countries, but they don't say, "Oh, you're a minister. Go ahead, free of charge." They charge money. They like money. I don't know why. They're just like, they like charging good money for that. And so it costs money. You know what I'm talking about? Well, you know, he invited us to go. Pastor Nancy, of course, did. But then the Lord, I asked the Lord about it, and he invited us to go. He said some things to us about it. And so we said yes. Not even thinking about the cost. But we're seeing miraculous things happen to get us in those, get us overseas. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know why some people's life is so boring? They just keep saying no. So they never have a testimony. They never have something that they come in shouting into church about, saying, "Whoa, did you? Let me tell you what happened to me." They don't have that. They're boring. They're no fun to be around. I'm not sure, Pastor Debbie. I'm getting some interesting looks. Let me tell you about David. David was somebody God could call on to deliver an entire nation when Goliath was threatening the whole nation. Remember that? The reason God could call on David is because in the little things, all out there watching the sheep and everything, when the lion and the bear came, David got in a flow of responding to God's invitation to take that lion, that bear out. He kept on taking the steps of faith rather than saying, "It's just one sheep. I'll let the bear have it." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he used his faith on every little thing that he had an opportunity to. So God was able to develop it. God was able also to get him in a flow of using, of responding to faith projects and saying yes to them. And when it came to Goliath, he knew he could count on him because he's in that flow.
Amen.
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 You know what I've learned? People that say yes to God, they get a lot of faith projects. Because he ends up using them in areas that he intended to use others, but they kept saying no.
Right.
Yeah. Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
And
that's why some people keep on growing in faith and others sort of stagnate and become dull and boring and never have a testimony.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You want to know an indication that you are responding right to faith projects? You respond with joy. Respond with joy, not a groan, not a sigh, not another. Oh my God! Okay, now Pastor Debbie, Pastor Johnny, they're gonna talk about building, paying off, you know, land or whatever. I don't know where everything is right now.
Paying off this building right now.
No, that's not joy. That's not faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to preach right on. Just keep acting like you're looking at me like with joy in your face.
Amen.
Amen. If you don't back out of leadings because of opposition, he'll add to your faith what it needs. But you don't get added to your faith what it needs backing out and being comfortable where the flesh is comfortable. You and I get added to our faith what it needs right in the middle of the fire. You know what I mean by the fire?
Yes.
I mean the opposition.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
That's where our faith really gets purified.
Amen.
But the flesh doesn't like that.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Jesus is called the author and the finisher of our faith.
Right.
The author and the finisher. In other words, he'll perfect what's lacking in our faith if we'll keep saying yes to these things.
Yes.
We don't get our faith perfected by backing out. Amen.
Amen.
So how many of you know the Lord, is the Bible said in Psalm 115, the Lord will increase us more and more. You ever read that passage?
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. He's trying to get us into increase. But to do that, he's got to get us to respond and say yes.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I know back years ago, Brother Hagin told a story. He said he had a guest minister in one time, and the guest minister, I don't remember all the details, but the Lord spoke to him and said, give him, I think the first one was $10. Now, that doesn't sound like much today. Back then, that was basically his whole week's salary.
Yes, yes.
I don't know what that'd be today for the average person in this area. But whatever a week of your salary is, that's what the Lord is asking Brother Hagin to give to that minister. And so he said, Lord, that's my whole week's salary and so forth and so on. But the Lord kept saying, no, I want you to do it. So he did it and rejoiced and so forth. But see, how many of you know that created a faith project for him? He could have said no and not needed to use his faith.
Yeah.
But, of course, he wouldn't have developed in faith either.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so later he said another one came through and the Lord told him to give $12, which was, I guess, his whole week's salary at that time. And he said, Lord, are you sure, make sure it was God. And then he found out it was, so he went ahead and did it. Well, I forget how many months later somebody came knocking on the door from his congregation and said, so-and-so, my sister or relative, I can't remember who it was, is over in such and such a town, dying of cancer, I believe it was. She's on her deathbed. And we told her about your ministry and how God uses you. And she said, well, I believe if he'd come lay hands on me, I'd be healed. And so she said, this lady at the front door said, she's asking for you and Miss Aretha to come and minister and lay hands on her. And so they did. They went over there and laid hands on her. Actually, they began to pray, and the Lord said, back up, and say, now, sister, rise and walk in the name of Jesus. And she got up off the bed. It was really her deathbed. That was basically where she was getting ready to die. And she got up and walked off and completely healed, went out in the backyard and ate watermelon with them.
Hey.
Was completely healed.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And then Brother Hagin, they're rejoicing, of course, but on the way home, Brother Hagin said, the Lord spoke to him and said, if you hadn't obeyed me with that $10 and that $12, he said, I couldn't have used you here, to raise this lady up. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Now, what is he saying? What? Let's think about that a little bit. Would that be all right before we end this today? What was he saying? First of all, he was saying, how many of you, Luke 16 talks about if we're faithful in that which is least, God will make us ruler over much. If we're not faithful with little things, he can't use us in bigger things. That's the first thing, of course. And so we should be saying yes to faith projects. Don't let little sniffles and little aches and little pains and things like that just kind of stick with you. No, use your faith on those things.
Amen.
Second of all, really what God was also saying is because he learned to know the voice of the Spirit when he was talking to him about giving that 10 and that 20, I mean that 10 and that $12. Because he had used those opportunities to step out and found out it was God, learned the voice of the Spirit, then he knew God what God was saying when it came time to raise that woman up from her deathbed.
Right. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
In other words, God was using those $10 and $12 leadings to train him.
Yeah.
Those were training sessions,
yeah,
to get him into greater things. Am I making any sense?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God will run practice drills on you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes, sirree, he will.
Yeah.
Well, he hadn't done it with me. Well, somewhere you stopped saying yes.
Yeah.
I found the Lord keeps on running drill. I don't know how to say it better than that. I grew up in running track and so forth. And I think in those terms sometimes where they do drills. You learn how to come out of the blocks. I was not a marathon runner, I was a sprinter.
Yeah.
And you gotta learn how to come out of the blocks.
Yeah.
I mean, I was as fast as anybody in my whole school and in my whole county and anywhere, all the way up to state. And then I met those big guys coming out of Philadelphia. They had hams like this around. and I beat most of them out of the blocks, but you know, they passed me up. So I think in those terms sometimes, and you had to run practice drills.
Yes, yes.
You had to practice. I mean, if you're going to be good at something, you got to practice.
Yes.
And the Lord will run drills on you. He'll say, do this, do that.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And he's training you to know his voice. He's training you to get in a flow of responding and welcoming faith projects.
Yes.
Once he gets you in a flow of welcoming faith projects, then whenever it comes time to do what really he has in mind for you, you'll say yes.
Yes.
Rather than draw back and say, no, I don't think so. Did you get anything out of this morning?
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 What if Brother Hagin would have dismissed those leadings to give that 10 and that 12?
Yeah.
The Lord told him the answer to that. He said, if you hadn't obeyed me, I could not have used you here.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I think we got to pay attention to some of these things sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What have you and I missed in the miraculous move of the Spirit, either through us or to us, because we did not welcome a leading of the Spirit because, you know, that's going to take faith. If I do that, that's going to take faith.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
Amen. What have we missed? I don't want to know. That's painful for some people.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I want to know myself. But I believe if we will start passing some of these tests, you know what I mean by passing the test?
Yeah.
Saying yes,
yeah,
to Faith Project and saying yes with joy.
Yeah.
As a congregation this morning, let's say yes with joy,
yeah,
to what God's leading you as a congregation to do.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. If we'll pass some of these tests, we'll get into some miracles that has never been seen in Merced. Never been seen in Merced. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What have other people missed because we haven't always responded to faith projects with affirmative? Amen. I don't want to find out. Let's just make the adjustments and start saying yes now. You know, David probably had no way of knowing that Goliath was coming when he was out there using his faith to deliver his father's sheep out of the hands of the lion and the bear. By the way, how many of you know you get proven in handling other people's stuff before you get your own?
Exactly.
David's handling his father's sheep.
Yeah.
And he's using his faith. Listen, he's using his faith for something that is not his. Use your faith for your boss where you're working. Believe God for jobs and contracts and that job to prosper. Amen. And God will say, I found somebody that's willing to take steps of faith, even on other people, so I'm going to start moving on them in some other things that affect my kingdom more specifically.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, David probably didn't know Goliath was coming. At the time he's out there using his faith to get that sheep out of the lion and the bear's mouth, he probably didn't know Goliath was coming, but God did. God knew he was coming, and so he was having him prepare for what was coming, although he didn't know what was coming, and it saved a whole nation. What can H2O do? Because they say yes, as a whole congregation, everybody jumps in. Everybody jumps in. What can H2O do to even affect this whole city or this whole region or this whole valley? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
So David he was putting himself in a flow of giving himself to saying yes to faith projects when he could have sat there and said, it's just one sheep. It's not worth risking my life. But he didn't. He went out there after that thing and said, no, that's my inheritance. That's my father's inheritance. And he used those opportunities to develop. And so God was able to pick. When it came time to who can I use to deliver the whole nation, he used somebody that kept saying yes to faith projects. Hallelujah. Well, did you get anything out of the word this morning? Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Everybody still loves Pastor Jay, shout amen. Hallelujah. 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 If something that I said this morning convicted you, there's a little switch down in here. You can just flip it and get willing to jump in with the vision that the pastors are laying out. And you can do it right now. Let's all stand up and let's just flip it right now, right inside. Just flip it, flip it. Okay, I'm willing now. Woohoo! Yep, there. Now I'm on board. Now I'm on board. Hallelujah. Amen. And it affects the whole congregation, doesn't it? Nobody's dragging in the congregation. Everybody's in with both feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah.